There's a verse Ken asked me to speak this evening on the idea of vision, and the subject is so broad. Where do you start? Or where do you end? I think Ken's more worried with the latter than he is the first part. When will I stop? The vision, Proverbs 29, I think it's about verse 18. A verse that you've heard. But I'm not sure that we've stopped and really considered what it says. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, God has called us together here to co-labor. That's why you're here. And this is kind of the family. I'm glad we could get together. You know, kind of the old galley, or Melbourne. I don't know what they call each other over now. It used to be old galley when we first got there. Then it went to Melbourne. Then it went to Patrick Harbor Beach, Indian Harbor Beach. And then the Patrickites, and I think now we would call them the Beach Boys or something. Kind of frustrating. And then we have Osterhage up here from Homestead. And we have one guy over here from, he's our pickle man. From McDill. Where's he? Oh, yeah, back here. We got one from McDill. Yeah, he's the Dill pickle boy, yeah. Then we have the ones here from McCoy and from the Naval Station. And then the University of South Florida. And all about us, we see people that have a need, a real need of an inner satisfying that's not being met by what we see the world has to offer. We know that. And so when I talk about vision tonight, I hope that I can kind of relax and not have to explain terminology. And I will be talking about most of the terms that you know, because we've kind of been together in ministry. Some of you are fairly new. But maybe later, if you have a word that you don't understand, jot it down for a reference, maybe. And then later, some of the fellows will explain to you what I'm talking about. But I am talking specifically tonight about the navigator vision as it relates to what God has on his heart. And where do you start with that? Well, I guess we have to start at the very beginning. When God created the world, he had something on his mind. He had a plan. And his plan was that he wanted to create men for his glory, people. Isaiah 43:7 is a good reference to put down there. And also he wanted to create men for fellowship. He wanted to have a personal relationship with his people. And he made it possible that man could have fellowship with the living God. And it was exciting. It said that Adam walked with him in the cool of the garden. And can you imagine talking to the living God face to face, walking and talking with him, in an atmosphere that everything was perfect? God created man for his fellowship. John 4:23. And 1 John 1:3. God wanted to have fellowship with his people, but sin entered in, you know the story, and marred this relationship and broke it. And then in Jesus Christ, he reestablished this relationship so we could have back with the Father and the Son the relationship that Adam lost in the garden. This is what's on God's heart. This is what he wants. A lot of people, in thinking about life, thinking about objectives and goals, they have a saying, maybe I aim at nothing, because it's so easy to hit. You've heard of people like that. Or like the fellow said, where are you going? Well, I'm going to the land of never never. Well, what are you going to do when you get there? Nothing, nothing. You see people like this, don't you? We heard about a guy hitchhiking the other day, and I've been traveling quite a bit lately, and I see a lot of people just standing around hitchhiking. And we heard about a fellow one time that was hitchhiking. He stood there, and one of the fellows in the mad work was just watching for a long time. And he stood there for about 35 or 40 minutes, couldn't get a ride. And so he just picked up his bag and walked to the other side of the road and turned around, went to the other direction, started hitchhiking there. Isn't that a kick? This happened. No place to go. Aimlessly wandering about. Vision. I want to define this. Went to Webster's, and there are some thoughts here that are very interesting. Something seen otherwise than by ordinary sight. Vision. It's a visual image without a focal presence. It's unusual discernment or foresight, looking ahead. It's a mental concept of a distinct or a vivid kind. Someone has said that vision, in order to be vision, has to come from an authority outside of ourselves. Vision, to be real vision, has to come from an authority from without ourselves. Well, we can qualify on that one, because our vision comes from an authority outside of ourselves, and that's the Bible. God's love letter. God's word to us. Now let me get one thing very clear. When we are talking or discussing vision, we're talking about God's vision. God's vision. And it only becomes the navigator vision when it conforms to what the Word of God has to say. Never forget that. So you'll hear me mention the navigator vision. But always keep it in context that this is the vision that we believe conforms with the vision that God has on His mind. And God wants us to be addicted to that vision. Now, we hear the word addicted quite a bit lately, don't we? Someone gets addicted to something. Did you know that God wants you to become addicted to the ministry of reconciliation? Reconciling a sinful man to a holy God, bringing them together like that. And in 1 Corinthians 16:15, it tells about some people that were addicted to the ministry, and in using a little principle that we use on submission, one of the prerequisites of submitting yourself to a person is to a person in God's sight that is addicted to the ministry. Submit yourself in authority to that man, someone who gives himself to the ministry that God has. And when we're addicted to this vision or this ministry, what it will do, it will change our lives. And someone has said that you can't catch or you can't see vision with the naked eye. It requires spiritual insight. And if you've been around the navigators very long, you know this saying is that more is caught than taught. You catch the vision that God has on His heart more than you're taught it. You see it in action. And I trust tonight that we catch it. I hope every one of us tonight will leave infected with the vision of what God has on His heart. And when we get addicted, or when we become thoroughly saturated with this vision that God has on His heart, it will alter our entire course of life. It will motivate everything we do. Our decisions will be made in accordance with what God wants done and how we can fit into that particular vision. It's that simple. It changes your life. It changes your life. Now, real vision starts, and catch this, not only vision, but your entire Christian life hinges on this fact, but vision starts with your concept of who God is. Who do you think God is? And did you know that who you believe God is will have to do with everything you do? Every problem in your life will be directly related to your concept of God, who God is. And I won't develop this, but we should know and we should understand that God Almighty is omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing, omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. He knows everything that's going on, and God is love. God loves you with a love like you can't even imagine. And I won't quote it, but mark it down. 1 John 4:18 in the Living New Testament says that God's love for us is so fantastic, there's nothing that He won't do to move heaven and earth to supply you everything you want and need. And when our concept of God, when we realize this, then there's nothing He'll call us to do that won't be right. And it takes away that fear of the unknown. And I know a lot of you right now are wondering what you're going to do with your future. Listen, God's far more interested in that than you are. Vision. And what I'd like to say tonight, in thinking specifically about the NAV vision, I'd like to go back into NAV history. The NAV vision. And how the NAV vision developed, and then how we fit into it. Now, this might be new to most of you, or it might be kind of old stuff to some of you, but I think what we'll do, as we go back, we'll see a little bit of how this fits into what we're doing here. Now, God's method is always a man, right? God's method is a man. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward Him. God is looking for a man that will stand in the gap, a man that He can literally pour out His life into, His power into. And he's looking around for a man like this, and he found one. And this man's name was Dawson Trotman. And Dawson Trotman was a man that knew God, and he knew him well. 2 Chronicles 16:9. And an outstanding quality of this man was that he had faith. He just believed God meant what he said, and he dared to step out on it and take it at his word and claim the promises that God had. Whatever else could be said of Dawson Trotman, we heard his wife Lila recently on a tape, whatever else could be said of Dawson Trotman, he was a man of faith. He believed God. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, now catch this, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He is what? He's God. See? And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God's God? He was a man of prayer, and he yielded life. Now, I'm not trying to deify the man tonight whenever I talk about Dawson Trotman, but only to show you the potential of the worth of an individual in God's sight. The NAV work, as you probably know, already was born in the book of Isaiah. All through the book of Isaiah, Dawson Trotman spent many hours, many, many hours. And we're here tonight, all of us, this evening, as heirs of some of the promises that God gave to Dawson Trotman way back there as he claimed promises in the first from this particular portion of Scripture in Isaiah. And since the objective of the navigators had grown out of certain events of Dawson Trotman's early life and prayer and his promises, it seems necessary that we need to review some of these tonight in order to get our thinking straight as concerned with the nav vision. And Dawson Trotman, as he studied in the book of Isaiah and the Word of God, the challenge that he found there was the greatest challenge that has ever been handed down to man from the beginning of time. Changing the world through changing of the individual heart. Not changing the circumstances that man is in, but changing that man from within. Changing his heart. We know this as the Great Commission. Dawson Trotman read this in the Scripture, saw that God's plan was to call out a people for his name. Changing the world. And Trotman came to this conclusion that something could be done. But he also came to the conclusion that something should be done. But he also came to the conclusion that not enough was being done, or the Great Commission would be far closer to being fulfilled. Now you have to remember, this was way back, even before outfits like Campus Crusade, InterVarsity, or the Navigators, any of them were started. And from those that knew him, Dawson Trotman personally, relate that in a very sincere, now catch this, in a very sincere and a humble way, he offered himself to God to supply the missing thrust if God saw fit to use him to get this message out and get men and women trained to get the Great Commission going. He offered himself totally to God Almighty, not even realizing what that would mean. If God saw fit to use him as a weak, mere human being to be that missing link, that thrust, to get the Great Commission going in his generation. He made this commitment. The second thing, the next significant event was a 6-week prayer meeting. Probably most of you have read it. If you haven't, I'd like for you to get that little booklet called Born to Reproduce. Well, there's another one that's even as exciting as that, I think, and that's called The Need of the Hour. And it talks about this man. But get those two books. It will challenge your heart and your thinking and give you a little bit more of a background. If you have parents back home, now what are you guys doing down there for these people? Get one of these Born to Reproduce. Put it in the mail. Send it back home to them. Let them read it. Because it's the foundational structure of what we're doing and the different things we do. All right? This, this 6-week prayer meeting reached a climax when Dawes and a fellow named Walt Stanton put their fingers on most of, if not all of the countries in the world, on a map before them, and asked God to raise up young men who would be used in making Christ known from all of these countries. Now, it wouldn't take too much for us to go out and get a map, would it? spread it out here. Boy, we'd go out here on the lawn at Ken's place and all of us to put our fingers on that map and say, God, give us men in all these countries. That wouldn't be too difficult, would it? But would you believe God was going to do it? Dawson Tribeman and this fellow did. They believed that with all of their heart. Third thing, Jim Downing relates that a third thing that God was giving to Dawson Tribeman at this particular time, certain promises from the Word relating to his future and ministry. And Jim Downing said that when Tribeman first related these promises to him, that he related them to him almost in awe, because they were so staggering in their implications of what it meant. After he saw in the Scriptures the need of the world, and after he was challenged through the prayer meeting that God was going to give them men like this, and the promises that God gave them, that they nearly completely overwhelmed him. All right, now the primary promise was found in Isaiah 58. Let's turn to it. I just want to read this to you. Okay, Isaiah 58, I'm going to read verse 12 only. Mark down for your reference, though, verses 10 through 12. Now catch this. Here he had this prayer meeting. God laid it on his heart, and listen to what God gave him. And they that shall be of thee shall build up the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. And the secondary promise deals with the means of completing the first. And it's found over in Isaiah 45. Let's go back to it. Isaiah 45. Verse 14. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt, the merchandise of the Ethiopian, of the Sabians, men of stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine, and they shall come after thee, and so on, and so on, and so on. And the thing that really stood out here, the part of the phrase out of this verse that God really laid on Dawson Trotman's heart, was the fact that men of stature will come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. Therefore, the conclusion that the navigators, that they've reflected back over this over the years, is this. Number one, that God wanted to do something toward fulfilling the Great Commission that was not being done at that particular time. Secondly, that God wanted to use Dawson Tribeman to be the foundations of building up many generations. Thirdly, that men of stature from many, if not all, of the nations or the nationalities would find God and His will in joining in the association of believers with Dawson Tribeman that Dawson Tribeman had fathered. Now that's fantastic. Now I know that the context here, what is it, hermeneutically, is that the word, Darrell? Hermeneutically here refers to Christ and His people in the millennium. However, Dawson Tribeman, according to the records, believed that this was the way that God was showing him that he, particularly, Dawson Tribeman, the pattern that he would follow, or God would use him, prior to the millennium period, or the time when Christ is going to come back and rule and reign on the earth. The word millennium. All right, now then, back to Isaiah 58. Then. What were the foundations that would repair the breach and restore the paths then? This was the question. And for the navigators, this was 22 years in building. And it consists of basically about five phases. I want to go into these briefly. Now you see, when we think of the navigator work, we think of everything just kind of boom. All of a sudden, there's the organization. You've got your beginning with Christ pack, you've got your topical memory system, you have your STS studies, you have all this stuff. All going. Did you realize, and even some of the fellows that have been around for a while may not realize, that it took 22 years for God to begin to build this context that He wanted to work through that we're seeing the outworking of today. And I want to go back a little bit of this, because as I was researching it, it thrilled my heart to see how God never hurries up His plan, but He has something on His heart. All right, now the first phase. Beginning way back in the 20s, these were rough, turbulent days during the post-World War I days. Reverie and disregard for God and evangelism was at its low, low end. We think it's bad today. But they say in those days it was terrible. And as far as evangelicals were concerned, they were hardly even heard of. Just a few, but you probably know some of their names. Liberalism was at its heights at that particular time. Things looked bad. But the Navigators, not the Navigators, but Dawson Trotman, in Christ, the first foundation stone of the Navigators was, has, is, and is going to be the Word of God. And this is what started back there. Other stones were going to be building on this particular foundation. It doesn't take long to be around the Navigator work to know that we're fanatic about getting into the Bible. Whatever it takes to get you in the Bible, you know, we're going to do it. Now, we have a conference coming up at Boca Raton. Some of you maybe haven't even registered for this yet. And one of the things on here that we have down is how to begin and maintain a plan of Scripture memory in the workshop. Getting into the Bible. Advanced Scripture memory. Getting into the Bible. How to share your faith. Getting into the Bible. How to be more effective in personal Bible study. Getting into the Bible. Principles of effective prayer. Getting into the Bible. How to help a new Christian grow. Get into the Bible. How to keep Christ the center of your life. Get into the Bible. Now, what I'm trying to say is, we really want people to get into the Bible. Also, we'd like for you to get to the conference. Because we believe that God, in a very special way, does things at a conference that we can't do sometimes out among ourselves. Maybe you have somebody on the campus you'd like to expose to the Lord in a very significant way. Or somebody you've been working with. Grab him by the neck, the nap of the neck, and whatever it takes to get him there, you know. I mean, get it. Break his leg if you have to. Is this on tape, Paul? Better race that.
What's that?
But whatever it takes, we believe that it's that important to get men to a conference and get them exposed to men of God that will share with them some of the fundamentals of how to walk with God. The first foundational spoke, beating this drum, getting into the Bible. And so strong is this emphasis that all over the country, the Navigators have been branded the Bible-loving, Bible-toting, Bible-teaching, Bible-quoting, Bible-applying bunch of Christians. I kind of like that, don't you?
Yeah,
yeah, that's all right. There was one of our guys up in Orlando was going to go be in a park with a theologian in a little meeting with him. And they wanted to expose this guy to the Navigator. This young fellow has been walking with the Lord for a couple of years, but he's kind of saturated with the Bible. In fact, every time you punch him, it comes out. He said, "Well, I don't know what I'm going to say to that theologian." He said, "You've got your Bible, haven't you?" The guy said, "Yeah." He said, "That's all you need." That's right. That's what we need, is the Bible. So then the Word of God is the foundation to the work. To know Christ. How do you get to know Christ? Through His Word. The living Word is revealed to us in the written Word. We get to know Christ and then also to make Him known. Colossians 1:28. So probably if there is a key verse to the Navigators, that's it. Colossians 1:28. Philip says something like this. We teach everyone all we can, all we know about Him. Isn't that good? If we don't know much about Him, we can't teach anybody, can we? So the secret is to know Christ and to make Him known. All right, so that's the first foundation of building the Nav vision. Second, the application of the Word of God in the life produced the next stone. And this leads to the enthronement of Christ in the center of a man's life as Lord. Jesus Christ as Lord. The stone of Christian discipline leading to discipleship and victory. Illustrated particularly by the wheel. We know this. Christ is the center, the hub. Now we have the obedience spoke out there along the rim. But it's the Christ-centered, obedient life, obeying the Word of God, the next foundation. And this stage of the work was developed in the middle and late 30s. And Lawrence Sanney, the president of the Navigators, described these days as days of rugged Christianity. Someone asked Billy Graham his impression of the Navigator, and his answer was this, that same thing that he repeated at the funeral of Dawson Trotman. He said, "Dawson Trotman typified Christian discipline. Billy Graham has the portraits of two men only in his study. One of them is William B. Riley. And he says he has William B. Riley's picture up there to remind him to be faithful and true to the preaching of the Word of God. And the other picture is Dawson Trotman, to remind him of his need for discipline in the Christian life. The NAV ministry is involved in helping men and women to embrace the truths of the Word of God, but not just to embrace them, but to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ through an obedience to the Word of God, which brings about the Spirit-filled, Christ-centered life. Then, third, out of discipline emerges fruitfulness. Matthew 4:19, who can quote it? Come on, some of you guys in TMS just getting started in good. Who knows that? Matthew 4:19, some of you newer fellows. Okay? All right, follow me. So here it comes, done it, the first part here. Follow me, then as a result of that, what happens? Fruitfulness. Evangelism. Follow me. A life of victory, and then as a result, evangelism. Chaplain John Bennett, formerly of the Air Force Academy, asked what the NAVs, what are the NAVs? And here was his answer. They are personal evangelists, training others to do personal evangelism. When you have an absence of evangelism, the ministry is out of balance, isn't it? So you have the Christ-centered life, now begin to build on that, obedience, and you have what? Evangelism. Then we move on up to the level of follow-up, which from the very beginning just about became an obsession with this man, Dawson Trotman, because everywhere he looked, he would see men coming to Christ and no help. Like a little baby born into the world. Here we have the little baby here with us. Needed special attention. Daddy gets up, takes the baby to the back, ministers to the baby's need. That's the way it should be. What if the mom and daddy just say after the little kid comes to the world, well, hope you make it, you hope you make it. Hanging out for yourself. You know. We don't do that, do we? Follow up. Probably most of you have heard, born to reproduce. Dawson Trotman had a heart for seeing young Christians grow in the faith. If you were to ask YFC, Youth for Christ International, what they consider to be the greatest contribution of the navigators to the Church of Christ all over the world, I believe their answer would be, they would probably say, follow-up. Helping new Christians to grow. And the reason I say this is because at their expense, they sent Dawson Trotman around the world to help organize follow-up groups in all of their works, wherever they were. Way back, years and years ago. And by the way, the fellow, Dr. Torrey Johnson, is the founder of this camp we're going to, Bible Town at Boca Raton, and he was the man that I believe founded Youth for Christ. And you'll probably see him at this conference. A dear saint of God. And he's the man that got that start. We prayed with him about this conference up in his room not too long ago. And boy, it was thrilling to hear him praying for you guys right here. What God's going to do in your life through this conference. Dr. Torrey Johnson, Youth for Christ International. He's out with him now. He has this Bible town. And after World War II, follow-up led to an association with Billy Graham, which was in turn a combination of phases 1 and 2 and 3 and now 4. Helping Christians to know the Word, first of all, to live a disciplined life, engage in personal evangelism, and then to follow up their new Christians. You see, so going with Billy Graham wasn't just follow-up. It was bringing into combination everything that the navigators had been building on up to this point. You get that? Because a lot of people think when you go with Billy Graham there, the navigators, all we did was go teach follow-up. No, no. It was bringing into focus all of these things that we're talking about. Building on the Word of God. You know, it's amazing. How many of you have ever taken counselor training? Quite a few of them. The question that is most often asked when people go start taking counselor training, when are we going to get to the counseling? You know why? Because the first thing they deal with in counselor training is the individual's life himself. Getting that life underway for God. Okay? After one of Dawson Trotman's trips around the world, now catch this, guys. His strongest impression after visiting missionaries was this, that they are not training anyone to take over when they leave or the other missionaries are no longer present. They're not training other people to take their place. Tim, if God zaps you out of McCoy tomorrow, do you have a man ready to take over in your place? Norm, if God would zap you out of McCoy, would you have a man? You could say, there's a man. Take my place. We go in and we get a lot of stuff going. A lot of dust in the air. But when it settles, where are the disciples? Jesus Christ started putting down the screws in the New Testament. And the disciples started going everywhere. And they left. They left. And Jesus turned to old Peter. Well, he turned to all the disciples there, his regular. I mean, I'm talking about the 11 or the 12. And he said, will you two leave me? And old Peter, for once in his life, had the right answer. He says, Lord, where else can we go? Who else has the answer? Obviously, there was a need of reproduction. Reproduction. And this was evident. And so this takes us to the fifth capstone for the Navigator ministry. And this was where 2 Timothy, Ephesus, came into view. This was where 2 Timothy was defined. Now, Spencer's right arm had already been dealt with. You know, it got in the picture in principle. How many of you do not know what I'm talking about when I say Spencer's right arm? How about that? Just note, you fellows have tapes of Dawson coming in there. You know? Huh? Get the tape. Now listen, get it. Get the tape of Dawson Trotman's testimony and then the one on Born to Reproduce. But here was an old boy that Dawson Trotman had met. He was a sailor back in World War II. And the old boy said that he wanted to know how to lead people to Christ. He said, I'd give my right arm to this. And the old boy was about this high, and Trotman's about like me, kind of a half pint. And so he looked up the big old sailor, and he said, no, you wouldn't. The big old guy looked down and said, I said, I would. Trotman said, no, you wouldn't. The guy said, I said, I would. Trotman said, no, you wouldn't. The guy said, I said, I would. And he said, I said that to him just to make sure that he meant business. Because he had seen too many Christians that say they'd do something, they'd give their right arm to do something, and yet not show up. And he just wanted to make sure, and he poured his life into that young man. And he taught him everything he knew. And the guy went back on the ship, led over to the people of Christ, and he said, he's got a man that's ready to go. He brought him back to Dawson Trotman. He said, here, Dawson, got another. You train him. And Trotman didn't know it, but strategically, at that particular point, he said to his man, Spencer, he said, Les, if you can't teach that man what I've taught you, then I take it. Passing it on. 2 Timothy 2:2. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This capstone became evident in the middle of the 40s. 1940s. Not way back in the 20s when the NAV work started. This began to come into focus of God's vision for the Navigator. And it's interesting because, you see, a lot of people didn't understand that reproduction was organically, now get this, a part of a greater structure. They began to get excited over reproduction, man-to-man or multiplication, or whatever you want to call it, and they tried to carry it on apart from the other stones, the other structure, and what happened was it failed. And guys, every day, not every day, I don't mean that, but quite often, I have people tell me, we want the NAV vision in our church. We want this vision of multiplication. But you see, it's not just a thing. It's organically a combination of all of these stepping stones. That's why you can't take a Navigator vision and plant it in somebody's church and say, this is the program. You can't do it. You can't go off here somewhere and just kind of get the thing started. It doesn't work, and you can't explain that to people. Save your neck. It's impossible because you have to feel it. You have to see it. We had a guy that came to Glen Eyrie one time. We were trying to write up a brochure, and they paid a lot of money to get this professional guy to come in, who was a Christian, and define the Navigators. And after about 6 months living with the Navigators, he said, I give up. He says, you can't define it. You don't define something like this. You experience it. Literally. That's what he was saying. So don't feel bad if somebody tries to define the Navigator, ask you to define it. And you say, but, because that's the way it is. Yvonne and I have been with the Navigators quite a few years. We're still trying to define it. You just can't do it. But you experience it. You can't carry it on apart from the other foundational stones. And this is the reason I'm going into all this. Is because vision is not just something, you know, boom, vision, I got it. You grow into it yourself. God implants it into your heart where it becomes an addiction to you. And nothing else makes sense, really. And the process is as important as the product. What you go through to get to there is as important as the product of multiplication. Believe us now this? You better believe it, Mama. By the way, Johnny Cash is on tonight, isn't he? You know what? You know what these characters sitting over here? They flipped a coin, I think, see who they're going to hear, me or Johnny Cash.
You lost.
They lost.